When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The unholy mortuary, the Snedeker haunting. The darkness gathers, and with it, the whispers. I'm Raven Vale, and this is Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we journey to a place often associated with charm and history. A classic New England town where the promise of a peaceful life should be paramount. We are heading to Southington, Connecticut in 1986, where a family's hopeful new beginning would swiftly descend into an unimaginable nightmare. Their new home, a spacious Victorian house, held a dark secret. A chilling past that had attracted an evil so profound, so visceral, that it would torment them relentlessly, pushing them to the very brink of sanity. This is the horrifying account of the Snedeker haunting. The Snedeker family, Alan and Carmen, and their four children, including their eldest son, Philip, who was undergoing cancer treatment at a nearby hospital, were searching for a large, affordable home, close to Philip's medical facility. They found it in Southington, a seemingly perfect, roomy Victorian house that fit their budget and their needs. They moved in with optimism, eager to settle their family and focus on Philip's recovery. They were utterly unaware that their new sanctuary was a former Hallahan funeral home, and that its darkest secrets lay hidden beneath the cheerful facade. The basement, in particular, had been the embalming room, a place where countless bodies had been prepared for burial, a chamber saturated with death. Almost immediately after moving in, strange occurrences began. The initial phenomena were subtle, almost dismissible. Unexplained noises would echo from empty rooms, faint thuds, distant whispers, the soft creak of floorboards when no one was there. Shadows seemed to play tricks on their peripheral vision. The children, particularly Philip, who spent much of his time recovering in bed on the ground floor, began to report strange experiences. Philip claimed to see fleeting glimpses of shadowy figures, and sometimes even full apparitions of deceased individuals, often those who looked unwell or were even mutilated, remnants of the funeral home's grim past. The family, still optimistic, tried to rationalize these events, attributing them to an old house settling or the natural anxieties of a family in a new, unfamiliar environment. But the disturbances rapidly escalated, shedding any pretense of harmlessness. The house began to assault their senses, primarily through the horrifying presence of foul smells. A pervasive, sickening odor of rotting flesh would inexplicably permeate the air, often accompanied by the cloying, metallic scent of embalming fluid. These smells would appear suddenly, hang heavy and nauseating in a particular room, only to vanish moments later, leaving behind only the lingering revulsion. The odor was so intense at times, it would make the family gag, reminding them constantly of the house's grim history and the countless bodies that had passed through its doors. The phenomena became increasingly aggressive and physically undeniable. Objects throughout the house would move on their own. Doors would slam shut with violent force. Picture frames would fall from walls, and kitchen utensils would fly across the room. Disembodied voices, moans, and groans would echo from the empty spaces, sometimes accompanied by the chilling sound of what seemed like an old, creaking stretcher being pulled across the floor in the basement. Electrical disturbances were common, with lights flickering erratically and appliances malfunctioning without cause. The entity, or entities, seemed to take a particular, malevolent interest in Carmen Snedeker, the mother, and her son, Philip. Carmen endured relentless physical assaults. She claimed to be slapped, scratched, and bitten by unseen forces, leaving visible red welts and bruises on her skin. More horrifyingly, she alleged that she was repeatedly sexually assaulted by an unseen presence, a profound violation that left her deeply traumatized and terrified in her own home. She would try to fight back against the empty air, screaming in terror, but the unseen aggressor was unstoppable. Philip's experiences were equally terrifying and deeply disturbing. He not only claimed to see the horrific apparitions of dismembered bodies from the mortuary's past, but he also began to exhibit profound personality shifts and blackouts. During these blackouts, he would sometimes speak in strange, guttural voices, or display knowledge he shouldn't possess. He would spend hours in the dark, cold basement, seemingly drawn to it, his behavior becoming increasingly erratic and withdrawn. His parents, already battling his illness, now faced the terrifying possibility that their son was not just seeing ghosts, but was being influenced, or even possessed, by something profoundly evil. This marked a terrifying shift from mere haunting to what Carmen believed was a demonic infestation. Desperate and exhausted by the relentless terror, the Snedekers sought help from various sources. They contacted their local church, but the blessings and prayers offered only temporary reprieves. When the activity refused to subside, they finally reached out to the renowned American paranormal investigators, Ed and Lorraine Warren. By this time, in 1986, the Warrens were well-established figures in the field, known for their investigations into the Amityville horror and the Conjuring cases. The Warrens arrived at the Southington home and conducted an extensive investigation. Lorraine Warren, a clairvoyant, claimed to perceive multiple entities within the house, not only the spirits of the deceased from its funeral home past, but also a dominant, powerful, demonic presence. She asserted that this demon was drawn to the negative energy and the rituals of death that had occurred in the house, feeding on the residual suffering and actively tormenting the living. The Warrens confirmed the family's claims of physical assaults, odors, and other phenomena. They documented inexplicable energy surges, EMF fluctuations, and temperature drops, providing a scientific-like corroboration to the family's harrowing narrative. Based on their findings, the Warrens concluded that the Snedeker home was experiencing a severe demonic infestation. They believed that the inherent darkness of a former mortuary, where so much death and sorrow had transpired, had created a fertile ground for truly malevolent entities. They arranged for exorcism attempts to be performed by various Catholic priests. These attempts were grueling spiritual battles, with the demons allegedly resisting expulsion, and the phenomena sometimes intensifying after the rites. While the activity did eventually subside, the Snedekers believed it was a gradual process, never a definitive, final banishment. The Snedeker haunting case gained significant media attention. Books were written, and eventually it became the chilling basis for the 2009 film The Haunting in Connecticut. The story of the Snedeker family's ordeal, particularly the claims of sexual assault and the terrifying influence on their son, captivated and repelled the public. However, the case has also been a subject of intense skepticism, with former tenants of the house disputing some claims and critics suggesting it was a fabrication or exaggeration, perhaps fueled by psychological distress or a pre-existing knowledge of the house's history. What truly plagued the Snedeker family in their Southington home, dear listeners? Was it the lingering energy of the dead, amplified by a child's vulnerable mind? Was it a profound psychological breakdown, a family's shared trauma manifesting as a terrifying delusion? Or was it, as the Warrens and the Snedekers firmly believed, a genuine demonic infestation, a powerful entity drawn to a place of death, actively tormenting the living, feeding on their fear, and seeking to destroy their very souls? The visceral horror of the smell of rotting flesh, the violation of the body, and the corruption of a child's mind are elements that push the boundaries of what we understand. The terrifying thought is that some homes are just structures, but literal gateways, where the darkest energies of the past can awaken and claim new victims. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder, good night.